Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the CX Goalkeeper podcast. I'm super thrilled today because I have Neil Greenwood together with me, and we are going to discuss about blood donors' experience. And I think this is a very, very relevant topic for all of us. Hi, Neil. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Greg. How are you?
Super happy and super thrilled to learn more about your work and what you are doing, because this has a lot of implication on society, on hospitals and so on. And I'm working in an hospital, therefore super keen to understand that. But before we deep dive in this topic, we would learn a bit more about you. Could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, firstly, thank you for having me on the podcast, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about what we do. So my name's Neil Greenwood. For the last 18 months or thereabouts, I've been the head of service ownership and strategy at NHS Blood and Transplant, which basically means that my team and I have the responsibility for the end-to-end experience that we deliver to our donors. The vast majority of our time is spent on blood donation, but we are a multi-product team, so we deal with other products such as plasma, platelets, stem cells, and even some work on organ donation as well. So quite a detailed role that we have. Prior to that, personally, I worked in financial services for around about 19 years in insurance, and then 3 years in banking, or more specifically in building society. A variety of roles across that time, but sort of lean, continuous improvement, customer experience, and journey management are the kind of key themes that run throughout those.
I think our careers are interlinked, because I'm also coming from the banking industry, now working in the healthcare industry, and therefore very, very similar. I'm keen to learn and curious to learn about your personal values, which drive you in life.
So I think that the kind of three main things that I would pull out, firstly, probably making a difference. You know, when I look back over the elements that I've just discussed there, that's really a theme that runs throughout all of them. So when I was working in insurance, I was very much working in the claims side of insurance. You know, ultimately, nobody wants to make an insurance claim, but it is necessary for some people. And that's a time of need for people. So that opportunity to develop journeys, to deliver journeys that help people was really appealing. Similarly, when I moved into the building society, you know, helping people create financial resilience, get onto the property ladder, equally was satisfying. But certainly, I think that's all sort of pointed towards my work in the public sector. I've been a blood donor myself for sort of 20 plus years, and that ability to make a difference at the level of saving and improving lives is something that's really strong for me. So certainly making a difference. I think challenge would be the second one. So I would definitely position myself as a challenger in many of the roles that I've been in. I think in some respects that comes hand in hand with CX. You know, I think one of the key tasks that we've got is to try and perhaps change mindsets and influence mindsets, and perhaps in some instances how we do that. So certainly I would say that challenge is the second one. And thirdly, probably without being too cliche, it's about having some fun on the way, right? I think, you know, I've had the pleasure of working with some fantastic teams, also leading some of those teams as well. And, you know, the great times, the moments that stick out to me are all about the people that I've worked with, not necessarily the roles that I've been doing. So yeah, definitely important to have a little bit of fun along the way. We spend a lot of time at work.
Thank you very much. And in the pre-discussion, you mentioned something, and therefore I allow myself to take it back. I think one additional value that you have is family, is something we have in common. For the people watching the video, they see behind you some t-shirts, some tricots from sport. For the people listening to the podcast, could you please explain what's behind you?
Yeah, indeed. So I was born into a family on my father's side from Runcorn in Cheshire. Runcorn, a non-league football team in England in the Northwest. So yeah, that was a team that goes right back to my dad's dad, to my granddad, that he then got my dad involved in, and that I've supported for my whole life as well, and kind of have the pleasure of introducing my young daughter to as well now. So yeah, they're the shirts that people can see behind me, and an explanation for the people on the podcast as well.
Thank you very much for this explanation, and it's quite clear now. I can say, let's start the game, the donor journey, the donor experience. Could you describe the transformation journey in engaging and retaining blood donors, and perhaps also pivotal moments in this process?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I say, I've been in NHS BT for around about 18 months now. So this is definitely an ongoing process for me. And I should say as well that I'm, you know, in some of the things that I share, I'm definitely representing the great work that many other teams do as well. I think one of the kind of the key aspects for me to understand when I first came into role was that really distinct difference between having been used to working with customers and paying customers. Our environment now is very different to that. So we're dealing with donors who not only donate their blood or their plasma or platelets, but actually their time and their emotion into that journey as well. And that gives rise to some really different considerations in that you're not necessarily dealing with a customer who has expectations based on paying for a product or paying for a service, but you're actually dealing with somebody who's donating all those things for free out of their own goodwill. So it's important that we kind of understand that and the level of service that we therefore need to kind of offer. In the first part of your question, therefore, engaging, it's really important for us to understand the nature of those kind of altruistic kind of motivators for people. You know, the high level, it is a really altruistic act, donation. But underneath that, there are different drivers for people that we understand. And that can be different across different geographies, across different ethnicities, which is really important to us as well. As an example of that, we know people from certain ethnic backgrounds that the match that they have in terms of their blood for patients with sickle cell is much stronger. So in that instance, understanding those motivators in attracting those people and engaging those people is really important. There are many other kind of examples as well. The second part of your question about retaining, you know, I want to be really kind of honest and authentic in the interview. And we do have challenges. You know, it's not all plain sailing. It never is in any role. And retaining is a challenge for us. So we tend to see the best side of humanity. There's lots of examples out there in the world at the moment where you would question that, but we're really lucky that we see the best side of humanity on a day-to-day basis with people arriving at donation centres. But retaining them is a different challenge, and we do see a drop-off. So actually understanding why we see that drop-off is really important for us, but also reinforcing those initial motivators. So we know that it's an altruistic act. We know that people want to do something positive. And actually one of the things that works really well for us, one of the best touch points we almost have in our journey, is where after somebody has donated, within the week afterwards for blood donation, we will send them an email that shows physically the journey that their blood has been on. So it will literally show the journey that it's been to the testing centre and then to whichever hospital it's been to, because it's got a shelf life, the product, and it's really easy for us to kind of demonstrate where it's been used. And that's really well received by our donors. That's always something we get positive feedback on, because I believe that's because it kind of touches on those initial motivation factors for the donor. They almost get to see that what they've done has kind of had a really positive outcome.
Go.
The other thing I would just say is that all of that is then supported by the infrastructure. So there are a number of factors that we need to balance in able to support those things. So like many industries, since COVID, we've seen a little bit of a change in donor behavior in terms of where they want to donate, at what times they want to donate. So all of the things behind the scenes that really make this a possibility. We have fixed locations, we have mobile locations, when and where our appointments are available, our IT systems and so on. All of that needs to align as an infrastructure to be able to deliver what we do.
Thank you. And in preparing this discussion, I was reading some article about the donor's journey to understand a bit better what could be the outcome of this discussion. And I was reading an interesting article related to also remuneration for donors. In an US hospital, they tried to pay for blood donation and the retention decreased dramatically. Nobody wanted to donate, because you shared that at the beginning. It's an altruistic act, giving blood, and they don't want to get money. Perhaps, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting debate, actually. So we often work with other blood organisations, both within the UK, but around the world as well, with Canada, US being part of that, but Australia as well. And yeah, America do stand out there as a slightly different view on this. And that's perhaps slightly reflects the cultural differences as well. So yeah, within the UK, we don't remunerate. That's not something that we've ever done. As you say, there are definitely sort of two sides to that story. But we absolutely rely on the good nature of our donors and that altruistic act.
Thank you. And now perhaps looking also a bit inside, what were the primary leadership challenges you faced in enhancing this blood donation experience, and how did you address them?
So I think one of the things that I sort of learned quite quickly was that the nature of the work that we do means that there can often be some quite short-term demands placed on the teams. You know, there is a lot of balance that needs to go on across different blood types. For example, we have very often high demand for the universal blood type, which is O negative. And if that even increases or decreases sort of even in a very small way, that can create some quite short-term demands on us. And that means that having a longer-term vision and view and maintaining work towards that can sometimes be quite difficult. So I think that kind of balance of short-term priorities needing to respond to those things, because we are talking about the difference between, you know, people getting blood and not in some instances, is really important. And whilst we have to respond to those kind of short-term priorities, I think the key challenge for us is to keep that vision on the longer term as well. So to that end, certainly within my teams, you know, we have for each of the different areas of the donor journey, we have that medium and long-term strategy defined. And each of the members of the team are really clear on for their area of the journey, what their kind of medium and long-term focus is, to make sure that the work that we're doing is kind of constantly aligned to that.
Thank you. And I think you already shared and made clear that for you, is this experience, this journey of blood donors extremely important. Perhaps could you share some strategies that have been extremely effective with, for example, some example. You shared earlier, for example, the follow-up with this email to share where the blood is going, which journey is going through. Some example.
Sorry, Greg, you mean in terms of the attraction element
yes.
of that? So I think probably the example that I picked up on there was probably one of the best ones in terms of we know that having a diverse range of donors is really important for us. And the reason for that is that, you know, with diseases like sickle cell, that there is a better match on some of the blood. And that those diseases are sadly more prevalent in some of those communities as well. So that's an obvious way for us to kind of link in. So the marketing that we do can then be focused on things that really matter. It can be targeted in the areas and in the channels that will resonate with those people. And that leads into another area of our organization, which is partnerships as well. So we often have sort of partnerships with a variety of different companies. And that's something that can then support us reaching the right audiences as well. So they've all proved to be really successful in the past as well.
Ah, thank you very much. And I read another article about apps used to engage and keep the contact with donors. What's the role of these digital channels?
So the app is really successful for us. The app plays a really critical part in ours. So really pleased to say that we're currently sat at a 4.8 rating the Give Blood app is sat at 4.8 rating on the App Store. And in terms of our bookings alone, around about 80% of our bookings for appointments are made digitally, and that would mean through either the logged in part of our website or through the app. So that's the vast majority of our donors making bookings in that way. And of those that are made digitally, around about 60% of those are made through our app as well. So it's a really integral part of how our donors liaise with us and interact with us. But what that offers us as well is an opportunity to present other information in that format as well. So we know through Insight work that sustainability is something that's important to our donors as well. And we've always tried to retain that element of thanks within the journey and that recognition for people reaching particular milestones. And historically, that's been done through reward cards, so sort of plastic, almost credit card sized cards. And the world is moving on in that regard. And what's becoming important to our people is a sustainability element. So the app has presented the opportunity for us to expand functionality and to start moving into things like digital recognition badges. Keep that same purpose there, keep that same thanks there from us, but in a slightly more sustainable way as well. And in addition to that, it gives us the opportunity to present information that's relevant to the journey. So there are things like quizzes on our app that people can take prior to attending, just to make sure that everything is okay for them to attend. And ultimately, that has that kind of win-win situation. We don't want any donor to make a wasted journey. And by taking some of those quizzes on there, they can understand whether they are in the right place to donate. From an organizational perspective, that obviously has a benefit for us in that the majority of people turning up will then be able to donate as well.
Thank you very much. And perhaps now looking forward, what developments and perhaps improvements are you planning to improve this experience for donors? Please don't share your secret, but some good ideas.
Yeah, so there's lots ongoing. So I could list you a long list of things here, but I'll just pick a couple out that are really interesting and perhaps help sort of cement one or two of the points as well. So for me, it's always been about kind of the end-to-end journey. We need to consider all those different touch points. But inevitably for us, that face-to-face experience that people have when donating is really key across that journey. And one of the things that we've been working on recently is really our physical environments. So they do have, at the moment, quite a clinical feel to them, quite understandably. And one of the things that we're influencing from a donor experience perspective is to change that, to have a little bit more of a service design approach to actually understand how that physical environment can change, positively influence the experience that somebody has. And to the point earlier about retention, hopefully be an environment that people are willing and wanting to come back to as well. So we have got a couple of exciting projects underway at the moment with new centres being open. I visited one in London last week that's due to open later this year. And we're working with a range of people to really develop the interior of that in a way that we've not done before. So that's really exciting. The other quick one that I'd mention is we are also bringing in some technology that will help us to more intelligently communicate with our donors as well. We have a lot of things to balance around blood type, around appointment times and demand. And what that will help us to do is to make sure that we're targeting the right people in the right channels, that importantly they want to be targeted in as well. So again, a situation where the experience will be enhanced, hopefully, but there is an organizational benefit for us there as well.
Thank you, Neil. And perhaps to conclude with a fun fact, I read your email that you sent me and I saw in the footer that you have blood type A+. I have the same. I checked that today because I was not aware of. We have the same one. This game is coming to an end, but in the extra time, I still have three questions for you. In 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What are we discussing about?
So I think there's probably a couple of things. The tendency, I think, with this type of question is to probably go for tech. So I'm gonna stick with that. We are obviously in the age of AI sort of taking over everything. And I think there's lots of really exciting applications for that in our journeys, both from a donor journey perspective, but also from a kind of clinical perspective as well. If I think about our plasma donors, it's a slightly bigger needle, and actually the size of the vein becomes quite important for them. So there is a vein assessment that's required. There is already technology out there that does that. That will only continue to get better. And as it does, and we can implement some of that into our journeys, that should make those really, really effective. I think from a CX perspective specifically, what that will allow us to do is to be much more personalized as well. So we have fairly standardized cycles for people to follow at the moment. But as technology, as thinking exists in those spaces, and perhaps in 10 years' time, what that means is that we have a much more personalized approach for each of our individual donors as well.
Thank you very much. And if somebody would like to contact you, what's the best way?
Find me on LinkedIn, Neil Greenwood at NHSBT.
Thank you very much. And now we are coming to Neil's golden nugget. It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
So yeah, I mentioned earlier that I'd been a blood donor for 20 years myself prior to actually getting this role. So it was in some ways the kind of the perfect fit for me. And I think that gives rise to two things for me. Firstly, it's a subject that I feel passionately about, knowing that what my team and I do every week literally saves and improves lives. You know, it means that we look forward to coming to work. We don't dread Mondays. We look forward to coming to work. So finding that passion is definitely something that I would leave. But actually, having gone through the process myself on a number of occasions, it gives me a fantastic insight into the journeys that we deliver. It's a bit of a cliche, but definitely walk that journey, walk in the shoes of your customers or your donors, and I think you'll be surprised at sometimes what you find.
No, and I think I want also to say thank you very much for what you are doing, what your team is doing and the company you're representing, because at some point in time, perhaps we could need that. And it's great to have people like you focusing on improving this experience and having enough blood for us. It can always happen. And therefore, thank you very much for this discussion, but in particular for all the effort that you are doing to create these opportunities for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you too, Greg. Thank you.
We are coming to an end. Thank you very much to the audience for listening to this podcast, watching this video. Thank you, Niall. We love feedback. Feel free to contact Niall or to contact me for any question. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. See you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it. Share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.